I know of a guy. Well, I've actually met him once, but he wouldn't know me if we crossed each other on the street, and I don't really know him. So I know of a guy who he and his wife established a financial goal and decided that when they met that financial goal, they would reward their family with a trip to Disney World. And so when they decided how to communicate this gift of Disney World to their kids, they decided to do it around Christmas, to wrap up a great big refrigerator box, and then mom and dad would put a note inside the refrigerator box announcing the great news of their trip. So imagine the excitement on Christmas Day when the kids get up for Christmas and they come down and they see this huge refrigerator box. They got to be thinking, this is the best gift in the history of gifts, because after all, the bigger the box, the bigger the gift, right? So the kids tear into this package. They rip off the wrapping paper and they tear into the box. And when they get into the box, they find nothing, because mom and dad forgot to put the piece of paper into the box. Their attention and their priority wound up being misdirected and misplaced because mom and dad forgot to put a slip of paper in a box announcing the great trip to Disney. Well, what if how some people approach their relationship with God is like the empty refrigerator box? The wrapping outside looks all nice and pretty, but inside everything's empty. Or the outside of the box is appealing, but inside it's just the outside is a misdirection of what's taking place on the inside. In this series, What Would Jesus Undo?, we're looking at some different things that stand in the way or create barriers to relationship with others and relationship with God that Jesus would undo so that we could pursue right relationship with God and right relationship with one another. In this message today, we're going to look at how Jesus would undo misdirection. He would undo misplaced attention and misdirected priorities. And one of his early followers, a guy by the name of Matthew, records a conversation that Jesus had in which we discover this idea of misplaced priorities and misplaced attention. And the conversation starts out with a question that Jesus is asked by the Jewish religious leaders. And the question says, "Why do your disciples disobey our age-old traditions?" they demanded. And then he goes on to ask the question a little bit further. They continue to ask the question a little bit further. They say, "They ignore our tradition of ceremonial hand washing before they eat." Now, we've all recently discovered the importance of washing hands. It's been highlighted for us numerous times over the past few weeks. And in our home, as a general practice, we try to encourage our family to wash our hands before a meal. But that's not the kind of hand washing that this question is being asked about. You see, in the Jewish belief system, there were basically two categories of anything and everything. Things were either clean or they were unclean. If you, as an individual, were considered clean, but touched something unclean, you then became unclean, and everything else and everyone else you touched became unclean, because unclean was contagious. And unclean not only affected you, but it affected your standing in relationship with others. If you were considered unclean, you had to isolate yourself away from others and even leave the town and stay outside the town until your condition of uncleanness was corrected. And it also affected your relationship with God. If you were considered unclean according to the Jewish belief system, you were considered unclean in relationship with God. And so to undo this condition of uncleanness, the most devout Jews would go through a very hyper-focused cleansing process, a ceremonial cleansing of hand washing. And so they would take about a quarter of a log of water Which I know the question you're asking in your mind right now is, what's a quarter of a log of water? Well, a quarter of a log of water is the equivalent of about an eggshell and a half of water. Now, I know the question that you're asking is, well, is that a small, medium, large, or extra large, or jumbo eggs? I have no idea. And that kind of misses the point, even though it is an interesting question. So what they would do is they would take about this eggshell and a half of water, and you would hold your hands out like this, while someone who is considered clean would pour the water over your hands, and you would rub the water, which would then fall down onto the ground or into a bowl. Once that process was completed, you were considered clean to partake of the meal. If for some reason you mispositioned your hands and the water ran down your arm was then considered unclean, and you had to start the whole process over and include your arm in the ceremonial washing at this time. Now, the most devout Jews and the most devout of the Jewish religious leaders, they wouldn't just do this before a meal. They would do it in between every course of every meal. And so when they ask Jesus this question, they ask him, why don't your followers do these types of things according to our tradition? And when Jesus answers the question, he kind of unleashes on them a little bit. It says, Jesus replied, and why do you, to the Jewish religious leaders, why do you, by your traditions, violate the direct commands of God? This isn't Jesus saying that hand washing is bad. It isn't Jesus saying that traditions are bad. It doesn't say that rules and parameters are bad. Instead, what it's saying is that it's possible to place so much attention and so much priority on certain aspects of the traditions and of the rules and of the practices that it's misplaced in relationship to God. For example, the fifth commandment in the Jewish law was to honor your father and mother. And according to the Jewish law, anyone who spoke disrespectfully to their mother or father could be punished by death. But the Jewish religious leaders said that it was okay to refuse help to one's parents if you simply stated that which was used to help was reserved to give to God. Now, giving to God is an incredibly important thing, but that wasn't the focus or the priority for the Jewish religious leaders. Actually, what they were up to was their intent was to manipulate the ritual, the practice, the rule, the parameter, to avoid the very intention that God had in the placement of the rule itself. And so Jesus says that this is not the way it should be. He actually quotes an Old Testament prophet by the name of Isaiah. The Old Testament is the part of the Bible that's written about the world before the birth of Jesus, and it's also known as the Jewish Scriptures. And a prophet was someone who basically, in simple terms, communicated God's message to the people. And so one of the Old Testament, one of the Jewish scripture prophets, was a guy by the name of Isaiah. And in his response to the Jewish religious leaders, Jesus quotes Isaiah and says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Jesus says their rules and their traditions and their practices on the outside look good. It even looks as if their intention is to honor other people and to honor right relationship with God. But Jesus says, even though that's what it looks like on the outside, their hearts are far from me. He says that there's a misplacement, a misdirection of their priorities and their intentions. And he says that this is far from the heart of God. He goes on to say that their worship is, this should be the next slide. Okay. Let me back up here and then I'll edit it. And so then he goes on to say that this isn't the way that it should be. He says, their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God. When we hear the word worship in the context of church, one of the first things that we think about is music. And there have been some genteel, polite, grace-filled conversations throughout the years about church music. Okay, well, maybe there have been some genteel, polite, grace-filled conversations about church music. But for the most part, these conversations have deteriorated into something that's been known as the worship wars. And maybe that's why Jesus' quote from Isaiah started with the heart. Because when we focus on these things in a way where our attention and priorities are misplaced and misdirected, then the very things that we label as important become more about me than they are about God. Well, worship is defined as ascribing worth to someone or something. And Jesus says to the religious leaders that their worship is misdirected and out of place because their hearts are misdirected and out of place. He says that they are ascribing worship and worth and value to practices rather than to God, and they're missing the point of right relationship with God altogether. Ascribing worship to God is done based on who He is and out of His great love for us, which served as the catalyst for Jesus to leave up there, to come down here, to redeem humankind from sin, and to restore right relationship with God. Jesus is so adamant about this. He wants to address this and correct this in such a way that he actually starts out this part of his response to them by calling them hypocrites and by labeling their worship as a farce. And Jesus, I would imagine, greatly offended the Jewish religious leaders. But he wasn't actually overly concerned about that. What he was concerned about was turning the attention of people gathered there that day, including the Jewish religious leaders, to right relationship with God based as God intends. Now, this whole idea of Jesus redirecting the belief system of the Jewish religious leaders was one of the reasons why this group of religious leaders showed up to check out Jesus anyway. News about Jesus had spread and his popularity had gained traction in the region. And news about him finally reached the Jewish religious leadership in Jerusalem. And what they discovered was that what he taught about God didn't align with what they taught about God. And so they wanted to make sure that people followed their rules. So they came to check out Jesus and try to discredit him with this particular question about their traditions. Well, after he had greatly offended the Jewish religious leaders, I don't know if they stuck around or if they took off. But what Matthew tells us is that Jesus gathered the crowd around him, and he began to explain more about what this meant and about what he intended in his response to the Jewish religious leaders. He says, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. You are defiled by words that come out of your mouth. A part of the Jewish religious leadership system had put in place a lot of dietary restrictions. There were certain foods that you could eat because they were considered clean, and there were certain foods that you couldn't eat because they were considered unclean. And they determined that if you ate a certain food that was considered unclean, you were unclean and had to go through the ceremonial cleansing process. And Jesus challenges this by saying, it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. The food that we eat, though it can cause significant heartburn, the food that we eat never really touches our hearts. But the words that come out of our mouths originate in our hearts. And as such, the words that come out of our mouth, the words that we use and choose, reflect the condition of our hearts. Jesus gets even a little bit more descriptive on this and says that the food we eat gets digested and eventually ends up in the sewer. So there's a mental image that you can hold on to for the rest of the day. And we can probably even find an emoji that we can share on the social media channels to reflect it. But Jesus says this is the condition of our hearts is what's really important and what really matters. You see, we can wash our hands as much as we want. And we can create a list of foods that we can and cannot eat. And it's possible to do all of those types of things and misprioritize and misplace our attention in relationship to God. So, how's your heart? Is your heart reflective of priorities that place attention on right relationship with God? You see, Jesus would undo misdirected priorities and misaligned attention. Jesus would undo this because it stands in the way of right relationship with God. And more important than the practices, though the practices are important, don't misunderstand me. The practices are important. The way we live is important because the way we live is a direct reflection of the condition of our hearts before God. But Jesus would undo misdirected attention and misdirected priorities to ensure that all of them would align with who God is and what God desires for us, and that we would then be able to ascribe worth to God out of hearts that are fully directed and attentive to Him, and patterns of behavior that are directly aligned with what God desires for us. So, how's your heart? Is there work that you need to do with you and God as a follower of Jesus to realign the priorities and attention of your heart? Or, if you're gathering with us today and you're not a follower of Jesus, is there work that you need to do or allow God to do through Jesus on the condition of your heart to realign your priorities and place your attention on God first and foremost? Let me pray for you as we close out our time together. Dear God, thank you for today. And in a way, we thank you for this question that was asked by the Jewish religious leaders, because it is a question that allowed Jesus to drill down to the heart level of relationship with you. Thank you for being who you are and for your great love for us, which motivated you to send Jesus to redeem us from sin and to provide the path to right relationship with you. May each and every one of us find a way to place our attention on you and align the priorities of our lives on that which you desire for us. In Jesus' name, amen.